Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. We're on a Friday, a couple Fridays in a row. I kind of like that heading into the weekend because we got big basketball, and we just have to start right away. TJ, I'm sorry, but we're getting Game 7 on Sunday.
I mean, who's surprised by that? I'm not surprised by that. This was destined to go seven.
Well, if you watched the first 43 minutes, I think you'd be surprised that there's a Game 7. Considering, I felt like Jon Snow. I felt like I got stabbed 48 times and then came back from the dead.
That's how I felt for the last 5 minutes of the game.
What a game. I don't even know where to begin. Just someone else talk. Adam, what did you see?
Well, Brockman, I was thinking about both of you guys, Brockman, you and TJ, because last night must have been so stressful for both of you, because the whole game, I actually thought Philadelphia was going to win. We see Jason Tatum playing horrible through three quarters. He can't buy a bucket. He is playing good defense, though, at the same time. You have to give Tatum the good credit for playing defense, passing the ball. He just couldn't hit his shot. And I just thought Philly had the game. And then, Brockman, you were probably stressed out beyond belief, thinking the season was over, wanting to trade everybody, get rid of the coach. And all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, unfortunately, with Doc Rivers-led teams these past few years, they've had epic collapses. And the Philadelphia 76ers scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, correct?
Yeah,
correct.
13 points in the fourth quarter. You are not going to win a game when you score 13 points in the fourth quarter. So that was sad to see for Philadelphia, considering it was their most important game since early 2001. TJ, I felt for you. TJ, I want to know how you're feeling right now mentally you felt during the game.
Honestly, it's like you shouldn't care so much about something that you have no control over whatsoever.
Zero.
I can't go out there and hit a corner three. I mean, I could, but I can't. Like, I can't go out there and put any effort on defense. I mean, I could, but I can't. You know, and it's just, to me, the frustrating part came in, like, the last 5 minutes of that game, when it seemed like the Sixers did not run a play. It was just, let's just, you know, one-on-one to the hole. I love Embiid. I sometimes don't understand his game, because if I'm 7 foot tall, if I'm 280 pounds, even though I do have the ability to shoot jumpers, you know what I want to do? I want to go pause. I'm going to go down there and pound somebody down low. Okay. I want to get the ball down low near the basket. I want to put my shoulder in someone's sternum. I want to make somebody feel my presence, and I just want to cap on them. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why we just don't do that. And then you got, you know, a guy who I said was a key to us winning, Tobias Harris. I said, we need 18 a game. He gave us 2 points in 42 minutes. De'Anthony Melton, 24 minutes, 0 points. I mean, it's really frustrating.
James Harden went 4-for-16 from the field.
4-for-16 from the field. I mean, I don't know. And by the way, we're going to lose game seven. We're going to lose game seven.
I don't know about that.
Because the Sixers are 1-9 in the playoffs against the Celtics. We're going to be 1-10 after this series. And nothing's going to change. And then I'm still going to revert back to the process being a failure, to all the, like, Mikal Bridges should be on this Sixers team right now. But no, we traded him. You know, it's just like, It's frustrating. Being a fan is so frustrating.
It is.
And it's doubly frustrating for me because, as you guys know, I have two teams that I wrote for, justifiably, no matter what mouth breathers on YouTube have to say, justifiably. And yet I picked two. It was like I said last week, God was like, here, your favorite sport is basketball. I'm going to let you root for two teams. And I'm going to give you two teams who just will inexplicably lose games in series in the weirdest, strangest ways, and it's just, it's frustrating, man. I am frustrated as a fan. This game should have been over. The series should have been over. Now we're going to go to Boston. The Leprechaun's going to come out. Red Auerbach's going to come out. Somehow Larry Joe Bird's going to suit up and hit a couple corner threes, and we're going to lose. So there you have it. There's your headlines. Boston in seven. TJ angry. I'm done.
TJ, the thing that you have working for you
is, we don't have anything, Chris.
Hold on, relax.
I can't relax.
You were me a couple days ago. I totally understand. I'm trying to stay rational because I've watched this team play all year. I've watched them lose. I mean, they honestly should have won 68 games this year because they just gave away games against. They lost to the Rockets. Okay, that's all you need to know. They lose dumb home games in their last 16 home playoff games. They're 7-9. So going back to Boston for a home playoff game, it hasn't been a sure thing like it has in years past or with other teams. Maxi played out of his mind yesterday. That dude is such a great player. I love watching him play. The energy, his baseline dunk late in the fourth, I thought was going to, you know, clinch it for you guys. Boston only played seven dudes. Even when a minute and a half to go, Doc concedes and empties the bench, Joe Mazzulla still left the starters out. Because just in case, Tatum, I just don't know what's going on with this dude. In the last three first quarters, he's 0 for 19.
Wow.
0 for 10 in the first half yesterday. He was doing it kind of on one end. He had seven rebounds, had six assists at halftime. He was, you know, kind of making up for it. He wasn't going to stop shooting. You could tell. There was a moment in the fourth quarter I was like, take him out. Bench him. He can't do anything. He's not driving to the hoop. He's not driving strong to the hoop. Every time he gets in the lane, he kind of does a little fadeaway. It just looked off. It was just one of those days. It was off. And despite that, they're still up 7.5 because Marcus Smart, I mean, this guy is gonna kill me. So he's gonna be the death of me. It's like Obi-Wan and Anakin and in the first Star. It's like, you're gonna be the death of me, dude. He played out of his mind in the first half. He was hitting everything. Malcolm Brogdon was awesome yesterday. 4 of 6 from three. Smart was 3 of 8, but I think he hit all three of those in the first quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what clicked for Tatum. That three in the corner with 4:50 left over Embiid. I mean, I think I hurt my hand. I punched the floor so hard. And then he hit the next one, and I was just like, where is this coming from? Because he's been MIA for three games.
Chris, humbly, he's one of the best basketball players in the world. And guess what?
First team All-NBA, back-to-back years.
It only takes that one shot to get you going. And when he hit that corner three, you know what I heard? I heard a very heavy woman start to warm up. That was the fat lady starting to zing. Because I knew what was going to come. This dude's too good, right?
He's too good. He's really good. 25 years old.
And I'm all about effort on the hoop court, right? I don't care. Like, I think it was Kobe may have said this. I know Dion Waters said it once about how he'd rather go 0 for 30 than 0 for 9 because 0 for 9 shows that you quit.
Yeah.
Like, eventually Jason Tatum's going to start making shots, but that didn't he didn't allow that to affect other aspects of the game. He still played D, still, you know, had 9 boards, 6 dimes, 2 steals. He still, like, he was out on the floor. Yeah, his shooting was horrific, but he didn't allow that to affect the other parts of his game, man. And it was just like the writing was on the wall. The second he hit that three, I went, oh no, because I knew what was going to happen.
The defensive effort was high for Boston kind of the whole year. Deshaun Grandy, who does play-by-play for Boston on the radio, he had this last night. The Celtics have played 94 games this year, regular season and playoffs. Game 6 offense was 0.99 points per possession, was 90th out of those 94 games. Yet they still won by 9. The defense allowing only 0.896 points per possession was 2nd. It was their 2nd best defensive game the whole year. So while the shots weren't falling for Tatum, he was really good on defense. Al Horford, really good on defense. They started Rob Williams last night, really good on defense. You know, the perimeter guys were really good. Smart and Derek White were really good on defense.
Malcolm Brogdon's starting to annoy me too, by the way.
Well, that's sixth man of the year.
He's getting on my nerves.
And the thing was, that was, and remember when they made that move in the offseason, it was like, oh, they signed Gallinari. Huh. That's a guy who can hit some corner threes. They're going to need that in the playoffs. Unfortunately, he got hurt playing Euro. Then they make the trade for Brogdon. You're like, oh, Brogdon. This could put, and then I think it was after that trade, Boston became the title favorite in the offseason in Vegas. And, you know, it was kind of that way the whole year. They went back and forth in Milwaukee. So, you know, it's game seven. It's funny. The Philly and Boston fan bases, you know, we both, we have the mindset of, you know, what's going to go wrong? How are we going to blow it? And I think that's where we're both at right now going into game seven. We still have another 2 days. It's not till Sunday. I'm going to be a nervous wreck the whole weekend.
Of course.
I'm already nervous now. Like, I don't feel good. Like, my heart was beating irregularly yesterday. Like, there's no reason for that to be happening, sitting watching a game. It's like I'm too into this, man. Like,
this is why it's great to be a Bulls fan, because when you're not in it, you can't lose.
How about that point in the game where Jaylen Brown kind of has a fast break, and he slips and falls, and it looks like his knee went in 14 different places because of the wet spot on the court. And then they didn't even stop the game.
He's pointing, wipe that up. And the refs were like, okay.
Okay, cool, whatever. Like, what was going on yesterday?
I don't know, man. It's just,
I don't know.
I think this series just goes the way James Harden plays. If James Harden plays well, the Sixers win. They've won three games, and all three of those games, Harden's been awesome, including two games where he scored 40 points or more.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in the other two losses, he was terrible. So I just believe in game seven, if James Harden plays well, then the Sixers have a great chance of winning the game. If he doesn't play well, if he has one of these, you know, 4-for-17 type shooting nights, they don't win the game.
Doesn't it seem like Harden can get into the paint and take that little 12-footer
whenever he wants?
Anytime he wants, but last night he wasn't shooting it. He would pump fake and then he sometimes got fouled, but other times he'd kind of turn around and look to kick it back out to the perimeter. Not that Embiid was really doing that, but Embiid seems like he can get any shot he wants, and it seems like he's going to make it 80% of the time, it feels like. But he was kind of missing in the last 5 minutes close to the basket. Boston really ranked up the D. Horford, Tatum had a block there, but I don't know. You're right. It does. The series does seem like it's kind of – can Tatum get it going in the first half? Which he really hasn't done in any game, and which James Harden is going to show up. That seems to be the deciding factor in these games right now, and here we are, 3-3, Boston. But I think before this series, would we have been like, this is going seven games, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. So here we are.
So here we are where we knew. It's like, so why are we both so angry? I don't know. Because we knew we'd probably be here. But, man, that's the tough part about fandom, man. You wear this on your sleeve.
I get why you're so frustrated, TJ, because the Sixers had such a golden opportunity to win the series.
Yeah.
Yesterday. After winning game one.
Yeah, and then they're at home. It's game six. The best player on the Celtics is playing horribly.
Horribly.
You have to make your shots. When you see the three-point shooting for the Sixers, it's a make-or-miss league. You have Embiid 0-for-2, P.J. Tucker 2-for-7, Harden 0-for-6, Maxey 3-for-9. It just goes on and on. They cannot hit open threes. So if you don't hit those shots, you don't win the games. And I understand why you're frustrated, TJ.
8-of-34 from three.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 8-of-34. I mean, Boston, I think, what were we? 15 for 35, or I think they shot 43%. And that's kind of been Boston's MO all year. They won't stop shooting threes. It doesn't matter if they've gone 0 for their last 15. They're going to keep jacking them up. You saw that in game five. They couldn't make anything, just kept shooting them. And kind of last night, really hot start. First quarter, couldn't miss. Second quarter, first half of the, you know, beginning of the second quarter, couldn't miss. Got up by 16. And then Philly was able to cut it to 7 at the half, but still, Boston won't stop shooting threes, and there's no reason to think that's going to change in game seven. So it's who's going to make it, which Harden shows up. Can Tatum make a few shots in the first quarter to get himself going? Will the crowd be behind him? You know, Jaylen Brown was like, hey, guys, let's go. Here we are, game seven. I want it as loud as I've ever heard it. I briefly toyed with the idea of flying back for game seven. If it wasn't Mother's Day weekend, 100% I'd be at that game. But it's going to be nuts. I don't even want to watch. Who's gonna, Adam, just break the tie. Who's going to win?
The Sixers have the best player overall in Embiid, but James Harden to me is too much of a wild card. You just don't know what you're going to get, which is unfortunate because he's so good when he plays well. If I had to put money on it, the home team, I just think the Celtics get it done. I think Tatum shows up, he steps up, has a big game. And yeah, I think it'll be pretty close, but I think the Celtics pull away. Yeah.
We did have a closeout game last night as well. Denver, holy crap. They scored 81 in the first half. Wow. They look like the best team in the NBA right now. They look like they're
by far.
They should be the title favorites. It seems like it's theirs to lose at this point. When you watch Jokic play, this dude is like, how do we describe him? Is it like a maestro? Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it when, you know, you're watching the Olympics and like a figure skater has it all working and they're hitting quadruple axels and
or he's like a
is like, it like Michael Phelps? Like this dude is just kind of everything all into one.
Yeah.
Though he's just so unbelievable. It doesn't even look like he's trying hard.
Yeah. He's like an executive chef at a three-star Michelin restaurant where he's just, you know, he's doing a little pinch here, a little assist here, a little floater here.
Yeah,
and
then chef.
The meal's great.
Yeah, chef. And then he whips it up and then there it is. And you're like, this is the greatest meal I've ever had in my life. Oh, here, would you like to try dessert? I whipped up this dessert for you just now. The dude's incredible, man. It's really fun to watch. And I wonder if we're talking more about his greatness today or the kind of the failure of the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, I think the failure of the Suns is the story just because it's happened again to them, you know, and losing a decisive game by such a large margin. But again, you know, when the report came out that DeAndre Ayton wasn't going to play, and really had he been playing the whole series anyway, but when it came out that he would not be on the court, I text you guys and was like, oh, they're done. That's like, crap, there's just no chance, and there really wasn't, you know? Two guys can't beat nine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, I didn't expect the Suns to be a championship team because, again, you can't bring someone brand new into the fold when you've got guys who've been battle tested together for the whole year and years and just, you know, kind of piece this team together and expect them to become a championship squad. That just really doesn't happen, not in the amount of time that they had to try to get it done. So I'm not surprised, but the way that they got beat was a little surprising. But again, there's only so much Booker and Durant can do. And,
yeah, they're playing a lot of minutes. They've played a lot of minutes. It's funny that they, you know, Kevin Durant goes to Phoenix. They make the big trade while we're at Super Bowl week. And suddenly Phoenix has the second best odds to win the championship. And you're like, huh, interesting. Not a lot of games. Like last year when the Sixers acquired Harden, you know, 25 or so. And you're wondering, is this going to work? Is it enough time to gel? Durant has that weird ankle turn in the warm-ups and has to miss a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then from there, you're kind of like, oh, it's not going to be enough time. They're not going to figure this out. Adam, my question for you is, we made a lot about what Giannis said about how the season was not a failure. But, you know, in terms of basketball, it was because they were so good and one of the favorites. But which was the biggest failure, the Bucks season or the way the Suns finished their season?
I'd have to say the Bucks. You're the number one seed. You lose against the number eight seed. Yeah, Giannis was out for a couple games, but you have to beat the eighth seed in the first round. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The Bucks were the favorite from most NBA experts for most of the year. And so, yeah, to me, that was the way bigger disappointment. I did think that the Suns would win the West at one point. I was on the hype train.
You were. Yeah, you were.
A lot of talent there. But yeah, like you guys have said, it's Durant's coming in with not that many games. And I think I underestimated their lack of depth. Their bench is just not good. And all of a sudden you could see Monty Williams getting desperate. He's playing TJ Warren. He's playing Terrence Ross. And he never really put those guys in before that. Mm-hmm. And so he was just kind of grasping for straws. So they still won a round at least. The Bucks didn't even win a round.
Yeah.
So to me, the most disappointing team of the year by far has been the Bucks.
That dude played for Phoenix last night. I honestly had never heard of him.
Which one?
Jock Landale.
Oh yeah,
oh, Landale.
He's been serviceable.
I understand, but.
But he's not the guy you want to start going up against a two-time MVP.
That's what I mean. You know, I was like, who this guy's gonna do what against Jokic?
To defend him, he has been playing pretty hard the whole series. Like I've watched, he's been playing decently.
He's making
hard,
him work
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit.
He plays hard, but yeah, I'm sure when Jokic saw that, he's like, okay,
barbecue chicken,
yeah,
or whatever the delicacy is where he's from.
Serbia, you get the knives, and you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna carve this dude up. I mean, I feel bad. Booker had such an amazing playoffs. He only 12 points last night. It just wasn't happening. But you know, before then, it was kind of whoa, Devin Booker, holy smokes. Campaign. I mean, you're not going to win when campaign's your leading scorer.
No.
You know, that's just the way it goes. All right, let's quickly move off of that. What happens tonight? By the time you guys maybe listen to this, these games, these series might be over. Do we have any? We know we got one game seven on Sunday.
Unfortunately.
How many other game sevens?
Well,
give them
your thoughts, Chris. Give them your thoughts on what's going to happen with the Knicks heat tonight because.
So Scott Foster is reffing this game tonight, right? And he's the most famous ref. He's the most infamous ref because of the weird stats. There's the, obviously we know the Chris Paul thing and, you know, home teams. He's the extender, whatever. But it's not good news for Miami. I mean, the last 10 games Scott Foster's officiated, the Heat are 0-10.
Wow.
And he's in Miami tonight with the Knicks having a chance to force this to game seven.
And you know the NBA wants nothing more than a game seven in New York and Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my gosh. MSG, game seven.
It's going to, like...
Monday night, all the spotlight.
I think that's super necessary, as Jorge Masvidal said.
Super necessary. So I weirdly think... I know Wiggins, we're recording this at almost 1 Pacific, but he did do the walkthrough this morning, and then he went to go get some more treatment. He's going to do a pregame warm-up and see how he feels. But LeBron is, I mean, with all due respect, Dylan Brooks is right. LeBron is old. He's got so many miles on him. He hasn't looked the same this series. I think we can admit that. He's shooting under 20% from three. AD is, I know he's cleared. He looked really woozy at the end of that game. If Wiggins doesn't play, I still think this is a close game. And they do still have Steph Curry.
The key to me is Klay Thompson. Klay has been terrible the last couple of games.
Yeah.
He's been awful. Klay needs to step up and give Steph Curry some help. He has to get going early. He has to shoot some threes. Same with Jordan Poole. Steph can't do this on his own.
And you cannot count on Draymond giving you another 20-point game.
Exactly. That's like someone scoring 35. Draymond scoring 20, right?
Oh, for sure. It's just extra bonus. Yeah, the key is Klay and Jordan Poole. Both those guys need to hit their shots. Just bottom line. And like, Chris, we talked about this earlier before the show started. If I'm Draymond Green and Anthony Davis is playing, you got to give him a little shot at the start of the game. Just see where he's at a little. Get in his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
where's the shot? You can't hit him in the head.
No, but I mean, like, look.
You know,
like,
just maybe bump him a little.
Give him a hard foul.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's even a question. He's probably going to do that anyway.
No, I know. But maybe you put a little extra on there and, like, on his way down, give him a little shove. You know, nothing. You don't need to get teed up or anything. But if you do, so be it. Just, hey, I'm here.
You're here.
I'm testing you. Are you built for this? Because I am. Are you? And then we're going to find out. I mean, Anthony Davis has been really good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
He's been picking it up because
he had 23-9 last game.
You know, I saw a stat on something on Twitter earlier today. You know, LeBron hasn't had a 30-point playoff game since the bubble.
I think I did see that stat.
I know they missed the playoffs one of those years, but it's still been a little while.
Yeah. You could tell he's having good games, but his explosion isn't there. I think there's something still bothering him with the foot injury. Probably,
yeah,
we won't hear about that. I think he kind of
annoyed it the other day. But. I'm so fascinated tonight. I have no idea what's going to happen in the other game, Knicks in Miami, the Scott Foster thing, whatever. I just like to play that up because it's funny.
You know, my only hope, Chris, getting back to our series, not to jump back, but Yesterday or 2 days ago in the Big Show, you threw out a stat that said the team that won game, I think, five and went up, or game six and went up 3-2, or game five went up 3-2,
yep,
won 80% of the time. Is that what the stat was? I just popped into my head.
Hold on a second.
I remember it was 80% of, yeah, the team that won, that went up 3-2.
Yeah, wins 80%
of the time. So like maybe, but of course, you'll get that 20% and you'll win that game. So
you just can't stop thinking about Sixers and what they did yesterday. He's like, we're talking about the Warriors. He's like,
I'm hurt.
Sixers, 80%. What is happening? Everything's collapsing.
I need Dr. Melfi. I need a session, please.
Staples is going to be rocking tonight.
Yeah, oh my God,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers. I mean, is Jack back in the building for this one?
By the way, Jack's been to the last two games. Yeah. Last two, Jack's back.
Jack's back.
Jack heard all the stories. Oh, he's not doing well. Mm-hmm. It's been 18 months since we've seen him. Jack's like, no, I'm here.
Jack was like, I'm just waiting for playoff ball. I don't want to go watch this regular season.
You guys see me? His son's going to be next to him wearing some weird outfit.
Yeah, Lou Adler will be next to him also.
By the way, Lou, it was great to see Lou back.
Yeah.
Those guys have had season tickets, if you guys don't know, since the early 70s.
Yeah.
It's incredible. 50 years they've been going to Laker games
together. It's incredible. That short Asian lady, two seats down.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
And that's probably what's cool about it, because you don't know what's going to happen.
We're rooting for game look, I'm rooting for game sevens just because I want more I want to see more basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't want the basketball season to come to an end. Because when it's over for a little bit, you know?
I just say this, that unfortunately, it seems like everyone right now, from what I've witnessed, is playing for second place, though.
I think it's the Nuggets' title to lose.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex English is sitting there scratching his head. Carmelo Anthony's like, what happened? You know, like,
Dan
Issel. Like,
Michael Adams.
Michael Adams is like, why not when I was there? You know, Dan Issel is like, come on. You know?
I will say, though, that if the Lakers advance,
they match up well against...
They do match up well. Yeah, Anthony Davis has been the best defensive player in the playoffs so far, by far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no one's stopping Joker.
No, nobody's stopping him, but he can make it more difficult for him. He can cause some disruption to Jokic, not make it where he's getting a 35-point triple-double every game.
Right,
which he literally averaged for the series. I think it was 35 points a
he
game.
He did. Did you see the stat that he was the first person to have a 30-point triple-double in the playoffs and win the game? So LeBron did it, Russell Westbrook did it, but they lost. And Joker did it last night in a win. First guy ever.
Wow.
Yeah, Nuggets would be the title favorite.
Yeah.
The Lakers have the depth, though, to compete with them.
Yeah, I mean, at least, look, it's not like a situation with the Suns where you've got two, three players.
I feel like Steph is going to have like 50 tonight.
Look, there's a shot.
He could, and they still might lose.
And they still could lose.
The other guys, Jordan Poole, I don't know what is going on with this guy.
I don't think at this point you can count on Poole.
You can't count on Poole. What you said earlier,
Clay is really the guy. Clay's got to show and prove. We need, what, game six Clay, as they say?
We need game six Clay. All right, here's Jordan Poole, his last four games in this series. So he played decent in game one. He had 21 in game one. Then he only played 16 minutes, had 6 points, five fouls in game two. They won. Game three, they lost 22 minutes, four turnovers, 5 points. Game four, 10 minutes, no points. And then game five, 11 points in 23 minutes, four assists. So he played a little bit better in game five that they won. But doesn't seem like you can count on that, dude.
No.
Game six, Clay has got to show up.
Has to.
And I don't know what's going on with Kevon Looney, if he's still dealing with an illness or I don't know. They're not really playing him, and he was incredible in the first round against Sacramento. And so I don't know if he's not physically there right now, but he hasn't been playing the same in terms of production or minutes in this series.
Clay, I don't know what his deal is. Clay, 15, 9, and 10 the last three games.
Yeah, on bad shooting.
They need a huge game for him tonight.
35% shooting in game three, 27% in game four, 25% shooting in game five from Clay. Oh, baby.
Clay always talks about growing up in L.A. His dad played for the team. He's the announcer for the team.
Yep.
If he's trying to show out in front of the L.A. crowd, tonight's the night.
Clay does show up big in big games, though, man. What do we need, 65 from Clay and Steph tonight? Even to just have a chance?
if Clay can get minimum like low 20s, like 20, 22 points, then they have a chance.
All right, let's see. All right, prediction time. I know you said Celtics in seven, Adam. Do we get seven games in either of these series tonight? Who wins? Come on.
I'm going to say...
You taking home teams? Closeouts?
I'm going to say the only game seven, unfortunately, will be between your two teams.
Home teams close out tonight.
Home teams close out tonight.
TJ? Yeah.
I think we see game seven at the Garden.
Ooh!
Ooh!
Okay. And I think we see game seven in the Bay. Yay, area! Ooh.
Bay area! Two game sevens on Mother's Day! Early Father's Day for me.
For real.
I'm pulling for game sevens. Who knows? All right. We might have to do a podcast on Monday to recap the weekend. Because game seven in Boston on Sunday. TJ, good luck. I love you, buddy.
Good luck, man. And hey, happy Mother's Day to any of you mothers out there watching.
Absolutely.
Hope you guys enjoy your day. You deserve it.
Enjoy your day. Enjoy the weekend. Some great basketball on Friday. Enjoy game seven on Sunday. I'm not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, there will be no enjoyment.
I'm not, no enjoyment whatsoever.
I will.
Adam, enjoy. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Peace out.
Peace. Later.